Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're going to talk to Bobby Hebert this morning. I think we're going to talk to Bobby Hebert. That's the thing. When you have Bobby Hebert as your guest, you're never quite sure if it's him or if it is Quill or who's going to be here. So at the moment, I think we're talking to Bobby Hebert. Bobby, good morning. It's great to have you here.
Good morning, Ted. And yes, I do have a split personality. Half of it's gone. Now, I am here. I did bring the Quill hat because he must talk about Window Wonderland. Are you ready for an epic challenge?
And it is an epic challenge.
Oh, it is an epic challenge.
It is. And so that's, yeah. So let's start off and talk Window Wonderland. That's going on right now in downtown Fredericksburg. If you go downtown, there are 54. 54.
I wrote, because here's what happens. Sometimes stores that didn't get jump on board with the city of Fredericksburg decide they want a riddle. So Mo is writing extra riddles which is kind of sometimes is difficult because this is the 12th year and I average 60 riddles every year because I write 60. They don't always use 60, but they all have to be different. So over the course of Winter Wonderland, I've written probably 700 Christmas riddles. They all have to be different. So I always write these and then they put them up in the windows. But how it works is this. I've written riddles that you've got to figure out. And I will tell you this, the riddles are not something that you can go to Google.
No.
In fact, you were just telling me about that earlier. Some friends that you know went downtown and they were playing the game. And they tried. Yeah, you can't look them up because I've given an obtuse description to something you already know, something buried deep in your psyche. And you didn't realize you were going to get therapy today, yes, but deep in your psyche. So, for example, this is one of the hardest ones. Her list is small, shorter than two. The perfect gift happens to be you. Name that song. So you've got to name that. That's one of the ones this year that I'm hoping will give people a hard time. But this is what Winter Wonderland is all about. You go downtown to the City of Fredericksburg Visitor Center and you ask for your map. And they give you the location. And now the merchants have posted all the riddles in the window. And you have to solve all 54 of them. And I suggest that you play with a friend. You take people down because I've written some of them. For instance, one of the songs took place in World War II, and the song was so sad that the record label almost did not release it. But Bing Crosby, he said, no, the soldiers need this. When you hear the song, you will find yourself in the trenches with the World War II soldiers, and the dreaming of Christmas gives them the bravery to fight on. And that's the kind of research I do. But if you just read it, you're going to go, wait a minute, why didn't I not? And you might have to Google history of something. So that you might have to do some research. But if you have a grandfather or a grandmother, they're going to know that, yeah, a lot of these World War II songs were not the glib things we thought they were. This is what we were fighting for. We were willing to die to get back home.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, so when you think about something like I'll be home for Christmas, you got to think about, and this is what I do. I research things. It might be about a 4th century monk that we might know who delivers us candy and cookies, but they're not all going to be easy. Some of them will, but this is what I ask people to do every year.
And you want people to – this covers a lot of different – there's older things. There are some newer things. And that's what tripped up my wife and her friend. And they had to end up talking to somebody who was a young mother to find out something.
Because I actually – the first year I did this back in 2011, it was all about toys. And so I love toys. Eventually, now that they have 3D printers, I might start building toys. I don't know. That's still, I find myself in, and now that I have grandchildren, it's a perfect excuse to go over to the toy aisle, because I love toys. And so I wrote everything from Play-Doh. But then I said, oh, wait a minute, what are the new toys? And I started researching those. And I says, okay, I want to throw something that's going to be across the timeline for people. And so if you work together multi-generationally, and then also, you know, I might have things from, you know, not just the Christian holidays. I also have things there from other religions that happen to take place this time of year. You might recognize them, or traditions, or songs. So there's songs, there's people, there's movies, there's new movies. You might have to go researching what are the new movies that are out there, because I don't want to be predictable. So easy that, you know, people can go through. I have plenty of easy ones, but, you know, like this one. Now, this one I really love. You'll probably get this one, but this is a recent innovation in our culture in the last 10 years. Never tired, never sleepy, Santa's super spy, just watching and creepy. Do you know what that is?
I think so.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, parents came up. Well, go ahead and say it. People can find that one out there on the streets.
Is that like Alexa or?
No. Oh my gosh, you got it wrong. Now I get to tell you. Can I tell you what it is?
Sure.
It's Elf on the Shelf.
Of course.
Elf, never tired.
Of course. Yes.
Oh my God, you're a paranoid man, Alexa. Listening to you.
Yes. That's
somewhere in the White House right now. The latest Ted Schubel feed from Alexa. I knew it. I knew this is what he was doing. No, but Elf on the Shelf. You think about
that. Oh yeah. Oh, totally.
And you know, I think about Elf on the Shelf and I go, oh my God, how do you create your own Christmas? You know, somebody created that. Just like one year I did one on Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Do you know his origin story?
Mm-mm.
I believe it's Bob May wrote it, the book, in 1939. It was a promotional piece for Montgomery Ward. It was just an advertising guy, like what I spent 40 years doing.
Wow.
Came up and now it's part of
I
think, how do I do this for the modern era? You know, because everybody's worried about sanitation now, what if you don't wash your hands? Who tells Santa? Is it troll in the bowl? I don't know. Watching your every move.
Right.
But yeah, so I go through there and I figure out, you know, what's a weird way, kind of a delayed joke. As you were telling me, as your friends were solving that riddle.
Yeah.
That to me was a delayed joke. When they finally figured out what it was, 2 days later, they go, Bobby.
So, So these are a lot of riddles, and not to give up all your secrets, but how difficult is it to create these? I mean, do you make up categories and then start?
I go by categories. The thing that is now I've been doing this because if you go on Facebook, this is kind of a compulsion with me. You want to know where riddle started from?
Yeah, how did it
started?
Start?
This started way before Winter Wonderland. I used to, when we go on vacation, my kids, you know, they're 31 and 28 now, but back when they were 7 and 10, we'd go on a long vacation ride, and they wouldn't shut up, just like their mother. I'll tell you, they got that out. And I'm thinking, okay. So I started making up things like, oh, big and green and full of holes, see the flags on top of poles. And you know what that is because you solved that in the street.
Golf course.
That's a golf course. And that would delay them for, you know, because I would give a quarter out. So I would be doing things like that. And, you know, I'd go, stuck in the middle is where I'm at. If I'm long, why, then you're fat. And then, you know, my wife started answering. She goes, oh, that's a belt. I said, baby, you're not playing. She goes, yeah, but this is fun. And so we started writing them down. And so eventually I had this database of riddles. And so to your question is, I kept doing them so often. So now, I actually started creating card games with one of my best friends, Jim Solomon, who, you know, when I wrote my Hardest Riddles in the Universe book this year, Jim Solomon's artwork is what I used.
Yeah.
We worked together at the paper, and so we made this book. But actually writing the riddles has become so automatic. I can typically take a subject. I do this sometimes in performances where I'll say, name me something. I can do it pretty close to extemporaneous, but 15 minutes is what I need for a good riddle.
Yeah.
If I want a good, like, science riddle, like, you can't see me, but I'm not fake, I will if you break. That took 15 or 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Do you know what that one is?
No.
Oh. And this is what I love about riddles. They're a delayed joke. The sound barrier. You can't see me, but I'm not vague. I mean, boom. And so it has to rhyme. It kind of only can be true of one thing, and I can't use the word within it. So I set up that, and if it's funny, I like it to be funny because it makes my kids laugh, or it makes my wife laugh, or it makes me laugh. And so eventually I've done this so often. So now when, you know, that's what I do. And then I've started layering in other stuff. Like if you go downtown and play this game, this is where it gets really weird, is I started dressing up in costume and going out catching people playing the game.
Yeah.
And that's what,
seen you do that. Yeah.
Yeah. And that is actually me kind of mixing passions together because, 7 years ago, I became an actor at the Virginia Renaissance Fair just because I thought, wow, I always wanted to go into acting, but I never did it. And so I created the persona, Quill, the epic poet. And I thought, what if I mix my chocolate and peanut butter? What if Quill started taking to the streets and caught people playing the game?
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, well, great. Then what are you going to do? You know,
yeah.
Ask for money? I don't. So then I thought, okay, I'll put them to a riddle challenge, and then I've got to give them something. So that's when I started giving out the riddle mastery. And so to recap, you know, you go downtown and play the game, and then, you know, on some Saturdays, I get into my Quill, the master, the epic poet costume, and I try to catch people playing the game, and I put them to a riddle challenge, and then I try to give out prizes. So it to me is, I don't know, I love the thought that people have been doing this now for 12 years. This will be the 12th year.
Yeah.
And that somebody, because I've met kids that have been playing the game in the earlier years, and now they're like in college and they're playing the game. And I go, wow, they've got a story that no other small town has. Kind of this weird Norman Rockwell effect where, yeah, we used to go out and solve the riddles on our windows. What town did you grow up in?
Bobby Hebert here. We're going to take a quick break, continue this. Lots of good stuff to talk about this morning. I've been looking forward to this show. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
It's your sales.com.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Bobby Hebert in this morning. We are talking about a whole lot of things. You mentioned just a second ago, Bobby, the book, the Hardest Riddles in the Universe. If I want to get this is a great book, by the way. It's a lot of fun. Where can I get that?
Well, I've got it for sale here locally. It's you can pick it up at the Fredericksburg Visitor Center, the card seller downtown, Agora Coffee Shop, Gateway Comics, or you can just go to Amazon and type in Hardest Riddles in the Universe. And it's actually, because I love funny books and everything, the book is also a delayed joke. So the artwork, if you look at the artwork in this book, you realize I've given you literal interpretations of the riddles.
Yeah.
So if you see a pirate, it is not a pirate. But I'm messing with your cognition. I've tested this out at one time, a Comic-Con, a trade show. I was experimenting with this. And the riddle for the pirate was, it raps, it taps, it pulls, it yanks, it does the job, you walk the planks. And then you see a picture of a pirate. And I'm telling you, it's not a pirate. But now guess what? You can't think of anything else
right.
But a pirate.
Well, so, it's just like the one that you told just a second ago, stuck in the middle is where I'm at. If I am long, then you are fat. You've got two hippopotamuses and you have a giraffe in the middle.
Right.
So that's in my mind. And I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, well, it sounds like a belt, but
yeah,
it's
but
not.
I'm showing you something. And this is where the genius of Jim Solomon came
yes.
in. Because I told Jim, I said, okay, I've written these riddles. Because Jim and I, when we started Riddle Rhymes, is this little fun interest that we do. We started making these card games. When we started doing it, it was always, if I can make him laugh and he can make me laugh. And so I said, Jim, you take my riddles and you give me the most bizarre artwork you can. And then I would see the artwork and I would explode in laughter and go, oh, God, he's upped the game on me. He's made this. He's made my stuff better.
The two
and
of you.
So that's what the book is all about.
Yeah.
But also, too, what I will say about this book, because I'm promoting it as a family-friendly game, especially in these hot political times.
It is. Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. You know, next time, you know, somebody is screaming about the teapot dome scandal or something. Yeah, I don't stay up on. or your uncle is screaming Tippy Kadoo and Tyler too. You know, whatever kind of Whig Party salutes. Yeah, I'm just not up on current events. But you know, before they go full Aaron Burr on each other out in the parking lot where they're dueling pistols, you go, hey, I've got a. How about this riddle game? Let's do this, because what I've wanted to create, and this is. You know, what I feel about Winter Wonderland and the stuff I do. My gosh, we've got so many places to fight. Can we have one, you know, no-fly zone?
Mm-hmm.
Can we have one place where, you know, my goal is to make you laugh? And the thing of it is, what I love about this game is people are making each other laugh. A lot of times when I'm doing the stuff on the streets with them, they're making me laugh. You know, this is... You know what I want to do with this is this kind of book. So that's why. And actually, because I just retired last year, I had to learn how to do the book. I actually went on Amazon and I, you know, because I have a marketing background, I go, okay, I can figure this out. It doesn't matter how old I am. So I started, you know, doing all the artwork and spent 3 months figuring out how to actually do this. And I go, oh, there's so much yet to do.
Yeah. Yeah, before we get off of Winter Wonderland and get into some other things, Winter Wonderland, like you say, you can go down to the visitor center,
right,
and get the map, get them all right, and you can win some serious money.
It is $1 million, Ted.
Wow, it's gone up since
yeah,
the last time.
They're not going to come for me, man. They're going to be like, it's Ted Schubel's show. I heard him say $1 million. And I'll deny ever being here. Who knows where I am? Actually, who knows who I am?
So right, exactly.
I'm totally in.
That
no,
was
it's
Quill.
Quill. I blame him for everything. Oh, indeed. I don't know. £1 million, I suspect. No, it's $1,000. First, and they've got like 40 other prizes, too. So $1,000 in gift cards. So, and again, I love the fact that... They've put a bounty on solving all these. But I'm going to tell you that...
A bounty.
There's a bounty on Quill's head. Deliver me from this bounty. No. But the fun is going to be actually solving this and actually spending some time actually not buried, not disappearing into that magic wizard that is your,
right,
your phone. And this is, you know, what I love about doing the Ren Fair is... We have to do that totally. You know, you're talking dialogue, you're wearing costume, but man, none of the actors get to use, you know, we're totally in the moment. And mm-hmm. What I wanted to create in Winter Wonderland is, you know, a time when people actually played a game, you know, so it's like Twister for your mind. You know, you're spinning it up. What mm-hmm. does this mean? And then you discuss it back and forth.
And you talk about the multi-generations. The way really to do this is to go downtown and bring along
right
your children.
I've met people. The coolest is when I meet multi. I've met a great grandmother, a grandmother, a mother, and a child playing. Four generations playing together as a family, and I go, wow, this is. It makes me so happy to see that and to know that, you know, this is the kind of stuff that I want to leave behind. Is as I think about, wow, what. What is it that you want people to remember
yeah.
about not just your town, but about what you do? This, when I thought about this last couple of years, it really made me help, you know, because I get troubled with the commercialism and just how this holiday stresses people out. I love the thought that here's something you can do for free. You might win a prize. And I love the merchants downtown. Yeah. I'd rather you spend your money downtown, especially I'll be out tomorrow in my Quill outfit. I've decided to go out, probably about 11 o'clock to 11 to 1 or 2, and I'll go downtown for the small
business Saturday. Yeah.
I'm going to do that because – and the other thing is that I'm giving out more than just certificates of riddle mastery. I also have challenged myself that I create extemporaneous poetry, which is the kind of fun stuff I love to do.
I know you did it at the Renaissance Fair. I mean, you're known for that, and you do it downtown. I mean, I don't know how you do it, because I watch it.
It's a process, and here's what you want to hear about that process?
Yeah.
Here's what goes on with that is you've got to find And I learned this at the Renaissance Fair that I was doing my bit. I have some comedy bits I do, but there's some professional actors there, and they go, man, you are fast, but you've got to get braver. And, you know, and it's like having coaches. It's like, yes, sensei, I shall get better. And so, you know, so this young woman of a third of my age goes, oh, yeah, your synapses, you sizzle, you're fast, but you stay on your rehearsed material. How close can you get to extemporaneous? And I go, I don't know. And so I started experimenting with that. The first experiment happened when somebody contacts me on Facebook and says, hey, Quill, the master poet, my wife and I are having our 30th anniversary. Would you make a poem for her? I said, meet me. And apparently when I type, I talk in the Quill, but yes, meet me at the Maypole. I shall create thee a poem. So I met him at the Maypole, and I asked her, tell me what you love about her. And her name was Susan. He goes, when I look at her, I just lose it, man. I look into her eyes, I get lost. I go, oh, you're writing poetry right now. I'm not sure I can top this.
Yeah.
But I go, okay, give me 10 minutes. Meet me at the pub. You know, we have a little pub down there. Now, I've put the challenge on. I have not written his poem yet. And I realize now it's on me. And I wanted to do this. I wanted to take that plunge into the cold water of fear. And so I sit down, I write it, and it flows out of me because I've done so many silly little poems with the riddles and stuff. So I go down to the pub, and he says, my darling, I have hired a poet for us. And I stand there, four of his friends, I go, when I think of Susan, the skies begin to clear. I look upon her lips, yea, then I chug a beer. And with every sip, I know I'm getting drunk. She's the molten lava that melts this Ophishlunk. Sweet hangover, is this woman in my life? I think I thirst again for the goddess I call wife. And I went down and I kissed her hand. And when I come up, I thought he was going to kiss me. Because I'd taken 10 minutes.
Wow.
And I created the best friend. And so I've begun to believe this, you know, because when I worked at the newspaper, for years, anytime somebody had a special occasion, they knew I liked to write poetry, and I would stand and I would do sometimes a funny poem, but usually a funny one that was mm-hmm. mixed. And so this has been part of my evolving philosophy that, you know, and actually I had a show a couple of weeks ago at a winery, and the amazing thing is that they found out that I could write poetry, right? As I'm checking out the venue, and the manager says, can you write a poem for the owner of the winery and give it on the day of the event? And I go, sure, send me some information. Well, I meet the owner the next day, and yeah, I'm just another costume clown. You know,
sure.
She goes, and she's very nice to me, but you know, I could tell, it's like, oh, she goes, oh, they brought this guy in a Renaissance, because I'm the only Renaissance.
Yeah.
But right in the middle of the festivities, you know, her manager brings her up and all her employees, and I shift into Quill, because they've told me who she is, and I tell her who she is in front of people. And it's, where have all the heroes gone with courage great and endurance long? I've traveled far, and I think I know, for there is a goddess who makes seeds grow. Her soul is in the soil, but in people does she invest, and all the treasures of the harvest. 'Tis friendship that is best. And then the poem goes on to salute what she's done.
Yeah.
And, you know, after that, she comes up. She's crying. And she's hugging me like I'm a long-lost brother at a bus stop. And I go, okay, there is something in this. Mm-hmm. If you develop and this is what I've begun to learn through the years as I do it on the poem. And the challenge always is, can you do it quickly? Will you take the courage to tell somebody? Like, I thought about you on the way over.
Yeah.
So this is for you. Because, you know, like when I did the one for, and I wrote this just as I got here. When I think about my friend at the Renaissance Fair, his deep love, and I thought, I'm going to tie together deep love and drinking.
Yeah.
Because he's getting intoxicated with her smile.
Yeah.
And that's where, when I think about you, who do I trust on the radio? There's nothing but truth that flows out of you. There's sincerity. And I realize, well, the power of humor is in opposites. So it's what a great fibber you are. Oh, Ted Schubel, the people just don't know. When you tell a lie, your nose begins to grow. Oh, Ted Schubel, it really isn't fair. Nobody can see because you're on the air, lying on the radio every single day. You make me feel good in your special way. Listen to Ted Schubel because his heart is true. And if you tune in, he'll lie about you too.
Wow.
So that's, you know, you have to have the courage, but this is the kind of stuff I like to do on the street for people.
Fabulous. Bobby Hebert here this morning. We got to take a quick break, unfortunately, and we will be right back, and we will continue on this morning with Bobby on News Talk 1230 WFEA. It is 8:33.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFEA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station.
ABC News, I'm M. Wynn.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFEA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFEA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Bobby Hebert here this morning. Also, Quill has made an appearance. It's funny. I have one guest at the end. When you take a look at when I post the show, there will be Bobby sitting there. But it's really two people. It's Bobby and Quill. It's just a strange thing.
Yeah, he's pretty useful. He shows up because when I'm at the Ren Fair, you're creating. It's because I'm also a Star Trek fan. In fact, I've got the Star Trek pin on my Renaissance Fair, and they always catch me wearing it at the Ren Fair. So take that thing off there. I'm on a special mission, don't you understand? Shatner beamed me down to this desolate planet in the year 1603. But now you're creating this world. But when you go out in the streets, you know, I actually have to take the holodeck with me. And it's daunting. You know, I've got to actually create, you know, to take out. But what I want to tell you too is what I love about, and it's so strange because as I have experimented with poetry, and this is what I actually was doing a couple of weeks ago at the winery that they had me there as their epic poet, is telling the stories of who people are. And I would say it something like this to people as I'd start off with the poem that I created about them. I guess, did not Beowulf have the minstrel to tell of his epic battle, when Grendel burst the door, and there the great challenge of the hero met him. A millennia ago, 1,000 years ago, Beowulf faced him. How do you know this? How do you know of Odysseus's challenge? How do you know of burning Troy? Yea, the poet tells us. And who's to say that you are not the hero that the poem should be written about? And I would do stuff like that.
Yeah.
The thing that is as funny as that was, it's actually what I really believe. Because I've written so much poems and everything when I was working at the Freelance Star, every time somebody get married, my wife knows. And she came to me when my son turned 18, and she told me, she goes, you write poems for everybody. And so what you can tell is, you know, the cobbler's children have no shoes. She's saying, you need to tell him who he is. And I thought about that. And the poem I wrote took me, is probably one of the fastest poems that I like the best. It's called A Father's Prayer. There's a ship aimed at the horizon. It's launching out today. And at the dock are two men. One is young and one is gray. And the young man sees adventure, endless worlds for him to seek. And the old man sees a crib, one last chance for him to peek. The young man's eyes are eager. He wants to grab the helm and steer. The old man's eyes are wet with just a touch of fear. But the wind is filling up the sails. The ship is straining now to leave, and joy is filling up two hearts because they both believe that God has sent them here to be a father and a son, they share the grand inheritance that Jesus Christ has won. The young man knows he's ready. The old man knows it too. The son was raised up in the Word. Now the world will see what he can do. And that was...
Wow.
And I stood before, you know, and him and his friends, and I said that poem because I realized, you know, now this is playing the long game. This is what I think about him, how this will play out in his life, what it will mean. I don't know. I know what it meant to me. I know what it has meant when I've, you know, I keep that kind of in my repertoire for fathers and their children, because we need to tell people who they are to us, what they mean to us, because this is what I love about the Age of Poets. As I began, you know, as I start, it's odd, you know, because I start in a funny place. I start with telling funny jokes and riddles and funny, zany poems and songs is kind of what I love to do with people. But then I realize, wow, when you really tell them, when you boil down, because it requires you to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
It requires, and, you know, by doing this, you create an episode of communion with the people that you're doing things with. So that's kind of, I was thinking about this for the holiday. What I want people to think about is, you know, right, you know, and not everybody needs to be a quill, you know, right around, because I'm spending a lot of time doing this, you know, I'm
right now. But maybe just write a letter if this isn't your thing, but put it into words.
Yeah, boil down what this moment means to us, you know. And I think about this moment that you and I are having here. This, I'm creating a good old day for me to look back on, because this endless energy that I seem to have now that I'm doing this, it won't last forever.
No.
There'll be a time that I'll look back and I go, okay, remember the time you went and you saw your friend Ted at the radio station? And you'd just written a silly song in the car, and you're going, am I really going to do this? Yes, I'm going to do it. Yeah. And Quill doesn't give me a choice. He goes, yes, yes, you know, everything on the menu. And yes, do it. Isn't that, you know, the abundance of creativity and the abundance of sharing?
Yeah.
You know, we don't need three ghosts to visit us, to remind us what the past looked like, tell us that we're missing the present, and point us at a fear-filled future, because that's what Dickens did. You know, he put us through all those ghosts. And now where I'm at, you know, in retirement, or as I like to call it, or my wife calls it, rehirement, because now I'm learning all this cool stuff that I'm doing. I go, wow, you know, this actually can make a difference in your life when you share, you know, in words, you just write it down. It's so funny that we are so used to consuming the creativity of other people. And, you know, we pass it over to the professionals, and we shouldn't.
No, and that's what, you know, you talk about being on the streets of Fredericksburg, and you talk about creating memories, and what you're able to do makes Fredericksburg so much different than so many other cities. I tell people that Bob Whittingham doing his window at Christmas.
Yeah.
Towns don't have that, but we do. People don't have Quill walking up and down the street when he gets a chance and, you know, creating riddles, but we do. And that makes this place special.
Yeah, that, and you think about all the other things, because really, we just finished yesterday, you know, if those of us, and now we're into Black Friday, but, you know, yesterday we were having the turkey. We're thinking about all the things we're thankful for. And of course, yes, our family and our friends. But you look at this community and you start, because this is pretty much, you know, one of the things I do is I really take my morning hours really seriously. And the first 10 minutes, as I get out of bed, I get to my journal and I'm writing. What am I thankful for? And it takes, you know, the more you do it, the more it floods through you, the more you realize, man, I'm really thankful for all this stuff and all the things that you just mentioned about what we have here locally and fun stuff to do.
Yeah.
And then what do we want to explore?
Right. Well, it's interesting to me because for years people would say to me, you need to get to know Bobby Hebert. And I knew you, but our paths never crossed. And it was a couple of years ago. And I don't even know I'd never even talked to you about this, but the first time that I was near you, I was near Quill, was at the Polar Plunge in Caroline County.
Oh yeah, that's a blast.
Oh, and you were just phenomenal, and you always are, because it's freezing, and you talk about how the, you're throwing your kids into a cold lake.
Yeah, and you're making, again, just what I've found, again, lying Ted Chuba, you constantly get on the mic and lie, and you tell, all right, plungers, it's 10 minutes till plunge time. Underwater heaters have heated Lake Landor to a balmy 87 degrees. Yeah. You lie, you know, yeah. And you make it. Think of it, what I loved about this, and this is all about chaos theory. You know, we play a game at the Ren Faire called Yes And. Somebody hands you a situation, and you don't get to say, no, I don't want that situation. I want to work with this. Well, yeah, and then you start working back and forth with people, and you create that. That's exactly how, because I love the polar plunge. I was asked to do it because, you know, what you need is an MC, and that's really somebody who really has no shame on the mic, somebody who will simply get up and start talking.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that tremendously, because I find that frightening, because I love to rehearse things and have it polished.
Yeah.
And you can't do that because, you know, you have a couple of meetings with the other members of the Polar Plunge Committee. They're doing all the work. They're getting the donations. Then you show up. They hand you a mic that sometimes works, sometimes doesn't. And then you have a DJ, and sometimes the music is there. And then people are throwing things at you a mile a minute. And then, like Julia Childs, you got to cook on the spot. And what I have found is you got to go, I want to make this as much fun as I can for other people, because as soon as that's part of it, that's where the crazy, in fact, same thing I'm doing downtown. As soon as my focus is, can I make a grim-faced stranger laugh?
Yeah.
And not get maced? Yes. Sometimes they laugh and then they mace you. No, you just go at it. And this is what I do at the Polar Plunge, is whatever the situation is, you take that situation, you get people involved, and you keep the energy going. And, you know, it's eventually, you know, that's where a lot of the persona, you know, because I had to come up with, well, this year, did I tell you what this year's theme is going to be?
No.
Oh, it's last year, I think. What did I dress as last year? Oh, my gosh. Oh, no, I was Captain Cold. So I created a new character last year.
Right.
This year, I'm going to Bob Beard or Blue Beard. I'm going to go pirates because everybody loves dressing like pirates.
Oh, right.
So I'm putting out Bring the Booty. Yay. So it's kind of, you know, okay, I'm two centuries off. It's the 1800s, the 1700s, not the 1600 Renaissance Fair. But I'm dressing as a pirate because this is a reverse raid. Oh, no, we're not off the coast there. We're not going into the Carolinas to take your things. We're here to deliver generosity because the treasure, we are after, me mateys. I've got to work on it. Me mateys. The treasure we are after is to create joy. And the heat of joy will keep us. And so I'm working on those, that kind of persona to create, because I know this about, well, I learned this at the Ren Faire. People love dressing like pirates, so we're going to start putting out there for the Caroline County Polar Bear Plunge that you ought to come dressed as your pirate. Come dressed as your favorite, you know, pirate raider.
Because
if people will do that,
yeah.
And then I'm not the only, because we usually have a costume contest,
right?
But then I'm not the only one dressed like an idiot.
Yeah, yeah. So that was where we first crossed paths. And it's so interesting as you talk about things. I mean, there really are. We've talked about that. There are a lot of things similar that you and me do, because I have every morning I have guests come in here and who look around at microphones and wires and monitors and things. And you want to make people feel at home, and that's what I do. And you're wanting to make people relaxed and in feeling at home.
Yeah, and also I want to draw them into another world.
Yeah.
This is, I practice things like, it's weird. I do cold therapy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. This is going to say, you're going, okay, can Bobby get any weirder? Yes, he can.
Oh, he can. Oh, then no, this, I want you to tell this story.
All right. So when I,
you just did it the other day, by the way.
Yeah.
We were driving somewhere and my wife and I were talking about how cold it is today.
Yeah.
And I said, well, get this. Because you'd posted on Facebook, it was what, like 20, 25 minutes?
25 degrees. So this actually came out of the polar plunge. You know, I get on the mic, and I'm telling people, you need to get in there, do this, run in the lake. And I'm not getting in the lake. And I'm going, oh my God, you know, it's like, come on. And so one year, I jump in the lake, and then I try to get back on the microphone. I go, oh, that you can't do it. Oh, you come out.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I'm really worried that I said, I want to be able to perform. And let's say I want to jump in the lake And then my son-in-law tells me, he goes, you need to look into Wim Hof breathing. I said, what is Wim Hof? Now, Wim Hof is the Dutchman who has set the world's record for cold exposure. So W-I-M-H-O-F, he's a Dutch guy, and he can go in the cold for 2 hours. So I started looking into it, and it's a breathing technique, and you take cold showers. And yes, it worked for the next polar bear plunge. I was able to get in there and get back on the mic. But something had begun to happen because I'm an addictive reader. I'm always reading, especially about vitality, especially as the years have gone on. You know, as I'm coming up this spring on my 64th birthday, I'm all about, okay, how do I cheat more mileage out of the engine?
Yeah.
And so I started doing this Wim Hof breathing, and oh my God, my vitality went through the roof. I found that the deep meditation part. And here's what I'm doing now is, to your point, is I'm going out every morning now. I do this deep breathing, and I'm out there in, you know, fortunately my neighbors really can't see me because I'm just wearing my sweatpants. So I'm shirtless out
right.
in 26 degrees for 15 minutes.
What?
Now I'm doing the breathing, but I'm also, because I believe in synthesis. I'm always bringing different things in, seeing how they work together. So as I'm doing the breathing, and when you end up, you do the 30, 40 breaths, and then with empty lungs, you empty your lungs and you hold your breath. I can hold my breath now at about 4 minutes with empty lungs. But I'm now in the sunshine, and the sunlight is, you know, your eyes, the only part of your nervous system that's exposed. So I'm getting this amazing sunlight, and I'm playing the kind of music, you know, yeah, a lot of it is rocky, or, you know, I'm playing my favorite spiritual songs like Walk Like Lions, and, you know, I'm feeling the power of God. And as I'm doing it, sometimes I'm rehearsing my martial arts, and I'm triggered. You know, I read years ago about anchoring, which is you get into a mental state and then you do a physical motion, and I'm anchoring. So I've done this now. I was doing cold showers, but now that I have the cold, I'm actually doing this. So the first part of my day, you know, my yard, my cold air is the dojo where I go out and I do this stuff. And then I'm noting, okay, because I take the journals, how's my vitality? You know, what can I do that I couldn't do before? And I will tell you this, over years, now I'm hitting the heavy bag again and I'm throwing kicks again, the martial arts that I thought my old joints couldn't handle.
Yeah.
And so that's part of the, you know, so to me, it's all about like, oh, not everybody needs to go out and do cold therapy, but especially as you get on in years, you begin to give yourself over to what I call the cultural hypnotism of age. You know, and people say it themselves, we've been hypnotized to hypnotize ourselves. In my years, I don't do this. One of the favorite moments from last year's Ren Fair for me, I think I told you this when we were on the streets, we're breaking down the set. And it's a lot of work that takes break the sets down. And I hear a couple of actors in the other section going, oh my God, man, these beams are heavy. Okay, get some of the young guys over here. And one goes, yeah, where's Bobby at? I'm thinking, I am one of the smallest and probably the oldest guy on cast. But when they're looking for somebody that can pick up heavy things, that's me.
Yeah.
Why? Because that's not how I see myself. You know, I was telling my healthcare professional the other day, as I'm doing my yearly checkup. You know, and I go, it's like, I know that they're pressing panic buttons, right? Because I talk some crazy stuff. And I go, I'm paying for your advice. Here's what I plan to do. You know, I'm be 64. I plan to spend the next 20 years with the vitality and the physique of a middleweight prize fighter. Tell me how to do that. And it's like the look on his face, and it's like, okay, yeah, he's like a candid camera. Yeah, you're not serious. No, I'm dead serious because guess what? Eventually time will catch me. But what I've learned, and is not just, oh, yeah, don't eat a bunch of bad carbohydrates, which is true. Don't shove sugar in your face. But when you're working with creativity, and this is what you and I have talked about before, this, the poetry that I do, the things that I do are my creative children. The shows that you're doing here are your creative children. They will live beyond you because they're also now out in the culture. They're, you know, you're creating, you know, and your physiology goes, oh my God, he must be young because he's still creating life. He's still doing things, you know. Plus, you know, I asked for one more child at 40 and my wife said, no way. You're cut off. They're all hyper like me. So.
Bobby Hebert here. Only Bobby, only you could we start off talking about riddles and get around to a Wim Hof breathing. But you have accomplished that. We need a quick break and we'll wrap this up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions, we've all got them. And we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Wow, good stuff with Bobby Hebert here this morning. A writer, actor, riddle writer, and so much more. There is so much that we didn't even get to, Bobby, and I would like to invite you to come back in January sometime, and we'll talk about, especially because you really have made a lot of lifestyle changes over the years, and these things that we talk about, I mean, you really live them and have goals, and with New Year's resolutions, this will be a to-be-continued show.
I would love to do that.
This is good stuff.
Yeah, because my Facebook Facebook page, Second Spring, is all about, you know, when you reach a certain age, everybody says, oh, if I knew then what I know now, well, what if, you know what you know now, but you had a younger man or a woman's body? Yeah, mm-hmm. What would you do with that second wind, that second spring? Would you be the lion in winter? Because that's what I want to be. I want to be the lion in winter, somebody who's living that.
Yeah.
And that's, in order to do Win a Wonderland, I'm going to need, especially the next 2 decades, maybe, the 84-year-old Quill, he's ready for it, brother.
Yeah.
In order to, because I want to keep creating these kind of things where you go out. And so that's what I just want to urge everybody to do. You know what? Come on out, Small Business Saturday. Try the game. Have some fellowship.
Yep, you'll see the town, and you'll have a very good time. And who knows, maybe win some money. Bobby, thank you for coming in. This has been great stuff. And again, I want to talk much more about just some of your lifestyle things, because I think it would all help us just as far as health goes. It would help me at least. So it'll be for me if nothing else. Thank you, my friend, for coming in. Have
thank
a great
you.
Holiday season, and we'll talk again soon.
You are awesome, my brother. Thank you.
Bobby Hebert here. Just a great, 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 great. If you see him on the street as Quill over the weekend, walk up to him. Have a good time. That is it. Thank you for listening. See you Monday.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.